What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode on Finding Direction. I am so excited as we dive into this episode together. I'm going to be sitting down with Anna Dearman Cornick, and we're going to be diving into everything and anything you can think when it comes to time management, a principle and an idea that I believe so many of us can benefit from, right? We all have only 24 hours in a day, and we need to learn how to essentially make the most out of that so we can live a high quality life. Some of the things we dive into on this episode is we talk about why your calendar is actually the least important part when it comes to time management. We talk about how you can use boulders, big rocks, pebbles to become better with your time. And we dive into so many other things, including Anna's story of really how she got to becoming a time management coach and a little bit about her background, just so you can know really who she is and what she's done. Anna is she's a time management coach. She's an author. She's a podcast host who ultimately helps busy professionals master time management so they can stop feeling this sense of overwhelm and really start spending time on the things that matter most in your life. She's also the host of a podcast called It's About Time. And you guessed it, it's all about having work-life balance and maximizing your time. She talks about productivity strategies, real-life advice to ultimately help you maximize your time. And she's recently the author of a new book called Time Management Essentials, the tools you need to maximize your attention, energy, and productivity. So again, there is so much goodness we're going to dive into on this week's episode. If you have not yet, make sure you smash that subscribe button so you can hang out with us every single week on this podcast. And without further ado, here we go. Anna Dearman Cornick, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Hi, Stu. Thank you. The pleasure is all mine. So excited to chat today.
Heck yeah. Same here. And so as we kick this off, I would love it if you could give our listener just a little bit of an idea as far as, you know, who is Anna? What do you do? And just fill us in a little bit about who you are.
Sure. So I'm a time management coach and I'm host of It's About Time, a podcast sharing stories and strategies to inspire better work, life, and balance. I'm a new author. My first book, Time Management Essentials, actually hit shelves this summer. So it's a very exciting time. But in addition to helping busy professionals and business owners stop feeling overwhelmed so they can start spending time on what matters most, I'm also a mom to a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Nice. And also own a podcast and YouTube production company with my husband, Scott, called Studio Pizza Productions. So I know a little bit about wearing a lot of different hats.
Yeah, I like the name Studio Pizza Box.
Production? Studio Pizza Productions. Yeah.
Pizza. Anything with the word pizza in it, that's good.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were going for. Who doesn't like pizza, right?
Yeah, people hear the name and they're like, ooh, I like it. I don't even know what it is, but I like it. Heck yeah. Well, so let me ask you this then. Like, as you start, I mean, you work with a lot of clients and you obviously dive into the world of time management, right? Kind of mastering these 24 hours that we all have, right? Nobody gets more, nobody gets less. And I'm curious, when you start working with someone, what are some of the initial sort of things that you, like, you've just worked with so many people, you start talking to someone, you go, oh yeah, that's happening. This is happening. Oh, this is what you don't understand. Like, are there any common things that when you start working with someone around this idea of time management that are just sort of like the initial, man, this is the few things they need to know right away?
Definitely. You know, I've had the honor of working with dozens of clients one-on-one at this point, just over the last few short years. I've had the privilege to speak to hundreds from stages to audiences, webinars, and over again, one of the biggest misconceptions about time management is that it starts with your calendar. And so when people tend to come to me and they ask me for advice, they expect that the first thing that we're going to do is open up their calendar and start rearranging things and making things fit. But that's not even close to being the first step, because over and over again, what I have found is that most of the time, when people think that they have a time management problem, that they don't have enough hours in the day, or their to-do list is too long, or they need to be more efficient, it's actually that they have a purpose problem, that they don't have a crystal clear vision of what they want their life to look like. So instead of operating every day and managing their time, making plans that are putting them closer to making that vision a reality while also living their core values, they're just kind of operating from day to day. And so that's where we begin. And for most people who want to improve their time management, it goes all the way back to really articulating your purpose. What's your vision for the future? And what are your core values that represent who you are and what matters most?
Yeah. Interesting. So it's like, I was listening to something you said in a different conversation you had, and I think it was such an interesting idea that, you know, sometimes we put things on a calendar and then it's like we build this beautiful calendar. It's finally 2 p.m. We're supposed to go do this thing. And all of a sudden we're like, squirrel, or like, I'm not going to do it. And we, you know, we just don't act on it. And I think it ties so perfectly into what you're saying, that it's like, the reason sometimes that happens is because there's not a deeper purpose behind why we're even doing that thing, right? If it's like at 2 o'clock, we need to call, you know, these types of people to do whatever. And then it gets that time and we don't really even know why we're supposed to do that thing, other than like somebody said we're supposed to do it.
Oh yeah. I see it all the time with people who think they're supposed to wake up at 5 a.m. I just finished reading a very popular book about waking up at 5 a.m. and so many of my clients, they say, oh, if I could just get up earlier, my whole day would run better. But then I have to ask, okay, what does getting up at 5 a.m., what would that give you? What is the purpose? What is the true reason behind it? And because there is not a compelling reason, oh, getting out of 5 a.m. is going to be the hardest. Getting out of bed at 5 a.m. is still going to be the hardest thing in the world. So it all comes back to knowing your why, knowing your purpose, because that's that fuel, that fire that gets you started and that fuel that keeps you going.
Yeah. Heck yeah. So let's say then you have someone, they come to you and they go, no, I know my purpose. I know exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing. I know what I'm like, I know what my end goal is, right? What I really feel I'm supposed to be doing here. When you sit down with that person and they have that like deeper why, they have that deeper purpose as far as what they really want to do, what does the process look like with someone that does have that clarity?
Oh, that's exciting. I'm always so excited and energized whenever I talk with people who are so clear about they know what they want, but maybe they don't know how to get there. Or they know what they want and how to get there, but they want to get there faster. So that's when we can really start looking at, okay, how are you spending your time right now? And what can we learn about your personality that's going to give us a shortcut into the time management and productivity life strategies that are going to make everything just easier and more effective for you. Regardless of whether my clients come to me with a clear vision, I invite everyone to take the Myers-Briggs type indicator just so that we can do a deep dive into their personality preferences. You know, we're all so different in the way that we take in information and why and what leads us to make decisions. And when you know that about yourself, when you have that self-awareness, you're able to set yourself up for success because you can skip over the things that just aren't going to work for you and go straight for the strategies that do.
Yeah. I love it. Heck yeah. So one thing I'd love to hear for you to kind of change a little bit, but I think, you know, obviously you can hear the passion you have about what you do, right? Helping people, especially once they're clear, like get to the goals they want to achieve faster. And I think there's moments we all have in our life where a light bulb clicks on and we go, man, like this is like what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm wondering if you could take us into a little bit of your own journey. Like, was there a moment in time where you really remember, like, this is my purpose, this is my clarity that ultimately led you to what you're doing today?
Yeah. I'll never forget the day that I gave notice at my very last full-time job. I walked into a meeting with my supervisors that was actually supposed to be a, what is it called, where they go, performance meeting. And I ended up giving my notice during the performance meeting.
They probably weren't expecting that.
They weren't. And yeah. I walked out of that meeting and told myself, you're going to tell this story one day. You're going to tell this story. But the story actually begins back in 2009. So, you know, I actually kicked off my career in the marble halls of Congress, you know, click-clacking around in high heels and Navy J. Crew skirt suits as the scheduler to a United States congressman. So it was my job as a brand new, fresh out of college professional to manage every single minute of my boss's day. From the time that he woke up in the morning until he went to bed at night. I'm serious. Every single minute was accounted for. And it was my job to corral hundreds of requests for his time from constituents back in the district to lobbyists in D.C., groups that were traveling up to talk with him about advocacy issues, speaking requests, the whole nine yards. And somehow try to find a way to make everything fit together like a puzzle to keep everyone happy. And then to reconstruct the schedule when everything would blow up due to unexpected votes that would need to happen or being called to the White House to meet with the president or his staff. And every day was an adventure, and I loved it so much. And it was such a baptism by fire experience to not only be in charge of managing one of the most important schedules in the country, someone who had to be everywhere at once, but I was also in my early 20s, a brand new professional trying to figure out time management myself. But I'm from Louisiana. I grew up in North Louisiana. I live outside of New Orleans now. And if there's one thing I need you to know about Louisiana, is that our food cannot be duplicated. And I spent an entire boiled crawfish season in DC. I completely missed that. I missed things like good seafood gumbo and shrimp Creole and jambalaya and my grandmother's mayhaw jelly and just all of that good Louisiana food and culture. So I moved back, hopped on a plane, moved back to Louisiana, where I kicked off a 10-year career in the 24/7 world of crisis communications and government affairs, where literally every single day was a disaster, like oil spills. I worked for the state on the BP oil spill. I was navigating communications during hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and droughts and floods and industrial plant explosions and nonprofit embezzlement schemes and universities on the brink of financial collapse.
All of it.
I mean, you know, you picture people on TV escorting high level, you know, CEOs down a freight elevator in order to avoid TV cameras waiting outside. That was actually a regular part of my life. That was a part of it. And every day, again, every day was a new adventure. It was order to be created out of chaos. And I loved it. And I was good at it. But being there for people, for companies, when they're in their darkest moments, their reputation is on the line, their business is on the line, they don't know what's going to happen next for them, it really began to take a toll on me. And I looked up one day and my boundaries were basically non-existent. I was working all the time. I was missing really important family and life events, like friends' baby showers and wedding parties. But it was missing my stepdad's 70th surprise birthday party that really was the straw that broke the camel's back for me, because I can't get those memories back. I can't get a do-over. We don't get multiple chances for these once-in-a-lifetime memories. And so I decided that I had had enough after spending one too many days crying in the stairwell on the way up to my windowless office in that leading up to that performance review, I decided that I was done. And so I walked away from what a lot of people considered a really cool job in search of something else. Because after spending decades creating order out of chaos and managing crisis, I was the crisis. I was the crisis that needed to be managed now. And so I dove in head first to figuring out what was next. I read every book I could get my hands on about time management and goal setting and vision and starting a business. And one book would lead to the next, to the next. Yeah. I dove into podcasts and just absorbed as much as I could. And little by little, I started to notice the breadcrumbs, the clues. I started having friends ask me for time management advice. I was asked to speak about time management to an organization in New Orleans. And I thought there might be something here. There might be a way that I can combine that crazy Capitol Hill time management experience from so early in my career with my love of creating order out of chaos. Can I do this for people's lives? And so now I'm a time management coach, and I always share that so that I want you to know that I wasn't born some kind of time management unicorn who was just great at time management from day one. I actually used to be the late person among my friends. And at one point when I was just in a really dark place in my crisis communications job, I was written up by my boss for being late 17 times in a quarter. And so if I can come back, if I can manage, if I can do this, I want to be proof of what's possible for other people and make time management but not just time management, living a life of intention where you spend your time aligned with your purpose. That's what I want to do. Make that more accessible and attainable for anyone who wants that.
I love that. That's so cool. And it's crazy to think that, like you said, right out of college, managing one of the busiest schedules of anybody in the US.
I don't know what they were thinking. Letting me do that.
Yeah, very cool opportunity. But yeah, you had to have been like a million miles an hour, like, sure, we'll do this, that. Yeah, that's quite a way to throw yourself in the fire. And, you know, one thing I'd love to hear from you is, I think sometimes I see this happen in my life. Sometimes I see this happen with other people that I work with a lot of the time, where I think sometimes we can get caught up in this idea of like, I just don't have enough time, right? Like there's not enough hours in the day. And it's, I think part of what's partnered with that is a sense of overwhelm. It's like, I have so many things to do. I have this, I have family, I have friends, I have work, career, health, you know? And so how does somebody go from a place of feeling like, man, I just don't have enough time, feeling like overwhelmed to a place of almost like ease and calm, right? I think when you really have found out a harmony of how you use your time, you can wake up and you can kind of flow through your day rather than going through the day in chaos.
Definitely. You know, we don't have time in our day for everything. We can't. We can't be all things to all people every day.
Yeah.
And the sooner that you can come to terms with that as an individual, that you have a gift, that you have a unique purpose, and the sooner that you can articulate what that is and know what you want your life to look like, every other decision becomes easier. A long time ago, I read the statement that there is always enough time for the most important thing. And the first time that I encountered that, I didn't believe it at all. I thought, how is there always enough time for the most important thing? But what I came to learn after diving into the importance of purpose and vision and those things leading to priorities is that when you know what your priorities are, when you're very clear on what's most important, there is always enough time to do the most important thing because you're driven to make time for that most important thing. You know, I think a lot of times we stress ourselves out because we create these two to-do lists that are entirely too long and they don't reflect reality. You know, this is where if I have a client who says, you know, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do everything that I need to do.
Yeah.
I ask, tell me about what you need to do. What does this list look like? And then we go into tactical tips like time blocking. You know, time blocking, the OG time management strategy, putting on your calendar a block that represents how you spend your time. And yeah. So when people actually begin time blocking the things on their to-do list, they realize, oh, I realistically can only do about 3 to 7 things of substance.
Yeah.
And it's having that reality check that can maybe at first make you think, oh no, how am I going to do all of these things that I need to do? And then sometimes it brings relief, like, oh wow, I only have this much time, so it's impossible for me to get all of these things done.
Really
so
good
let's
point.
Let's be more realistic. That's how you end the day feeling accomplished, is by giving yourself a realistic number of things to do. That's why, I mean, I'm a big fan of a to-do list as a starting point to get your tasks out of your head and onto paper, or maybe from your task management system. I'm a big fan of Asana for managing all of my tasks so I don't have to remember them in my head. Mm. But putting them on paper, it's a great way to feel grounded to start your day. But then transferring from the to-do list to the calendar to bring reality into the mix.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a super important thing that you brought up, of the idea that's like, are you putting yourself against an impossible like standard or an impossible task, right? If you're like, I need to get 500 things done today, and if I don't, I feel like I'm never going to actually have achieved anything. And it's like, well, come on, buddy, like you're not going to, not even 100, like not even probably, not even 50, like, yeah, go for what are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things.
Yeah.
You get those done. I think it's a beautiful way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we don't like to choose. We don't like to decide what the most important thing is, because when we have to pick the 3 things off of our list, a lot of times we look at it as, well, if I only do these 3 things, then I'm a failure for not doing everything else. But we have to reframe it and think, yes, these are the 3 things that are most important. They are most important because they move me closer to this goal. They get me closer to reaching this deadline. They move me closer to my vision. I am winning because I am focusing on these 3 things that will move me closer to my end zone faster.
Yeah. I what do you think it relates to, sort of like the microwave society idea, right? Of like, you push a button and it's here. Do you think there's a correlation between those two?
Oh my gosh. The whole, yes, instant gratification, I think, has had a huge impact on the way that we look at long-term goals. You know, most of the best things in life can't be done overnight. I just finished launching my book, and you can't, you can't pull an all-nighter to write a book. You can't. Yeah. It takes time. Yeah. It takes planning, and it takes having background and doing research. And so often we shy away from making long-term plans because they take a long time. And a lot of times we don't see the results immediately. It's just like working out. You can't go to the gym once and automatically expect to come home with a six-pack. Yeah. And people get frustrated because they don't see those immediate results. And so I find that because those good things take longer, that people avoid committing to or even letting themselves dream that big because, you know, if it can't be done quickly, then what's the point? And so, you know, good things come to those who wait and who put in the work.
Yeah.
And you can't be afraid of that if you want to make big things happen.
Yeah. Very, very true. Can you share with us the idea of, I know you talk a lot about this idea of like having stones / like boulders and pebbles and kind of using this idea to manage your time. Can you expand upon that a little bit for us?
Sure, sure. Now, I will say before I kick it off that this is actually a concept that is not new. It's borrowed from something called the parable of the pickle jar. Stephen Covey has also shared about this concept, but I've kind of adapted it based on working with my clients and trying to make this concept of priorities a whole lot easier to understand. You know, a lot of times when we think about priorities, we think about, okay, priorities are things that are important, right?
Yeah.
But when there are so many different hats that we wear, roles that we play, responsibilities that we have, suddenly everything feels important. But when it comes down to it, there are different types of priorities. And when you're able to take this idea of priority from being this one type of thing to there being different types of priorities that have different weights and levels of importance associated with them, it makes the whole idea of figuring out what's most important a whole lot easier. So I like to think of priorities as boulders, big rocks, and pebbles. We can all picture a boulder. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. I've always wanted to go, but I always picture like giant boulders at the Grand Canyon. And when you push on them, they don't move no matter what you do, no matter how hard you push. And so boulders represent the activities in our life that are important, but they're not urgent. And I'll talk a bit about that in a second. They're important, but they're not urgent. And they help us show up as our best selves. So things like working out, having a regular date night with your partner, cultivating friendships, investing in your professional or your personal development. None of these activities aren't ever necessarily going to be urgent. You're probably not going to need an urgent date night with your, you know, your spouse, because that's just not the nature of these things. But the thing is that without a date night or without working out, you're not able to show up as your best self in your relationship or in your health and wellness. If you don't make time for personal or professional development, you're not showing up as your best self in that area of your life. And now the thing is that while these things aren't urgent, if we put them off and put them off and put them on the back burner, which they're very easy to put on the back burner in favor of putting out fires, tackling whatever the most urgent thing is of the day, eventually those boulder activities that we neglect will catch on fire, because we will have skipped a workout so many times that our health has been neglected. We will have skipped investing in our professional development so many times that we've fallen behind on industry trends. We'll find that our relationships aren't as strong as they once were. And so those things, those activities that help us show up as our best self, that are important but not urgent, we need to think of those as our bolder priorities and put them into our calendar first. Schedule them in our day first, not necessarily chronologically first, but to find space for them before we start adding in everything else. And then don't move them. Okay. Just leave them there. Let them stay. They're your line in the sand. They're your boundary. So then once we've got our boulders, we think about our big rocks. Now, big rocks, they're smaller than boulders. Maybe you could pick one up. Maybe you could push on it. It's got some wiggle room. These are the things in our days that are important, but they are urgent. There is some time-bound nature to it. And our boulders, while they help us show up as our best selves, our big rocks move the needle in our life and our work, and that they get us closer to that vision that we have for ourselves, typically on a project basis. So big rocks are going to be things like recording this podcast episode right now. We could consider this a big rock because it moves the needle. Planning a big vacation for your family, planning a Disney trip, that is a big rock. There's a lot that goes into it, and there's a deadline there. Planning milestone birthdays or celebrations, renovating the hall bathroom, also considered a big rock kind of activity, because it moves the needle in the vision that you have for your life. And so after we have our boulders in our schedule, in our week, the next thing that we want to add is our big rocks, because although they are urgent, we're able to be a bit more flexible with when we tackle those items. So then, once we've got our boulders and our big rocks, last is our pebbles. And pebbles, we know what pebbles are. They're the little bitty pieces of gravel that fill in all of the spaces. There's a lot of them, and they're really tiny. And so pebbles represent the things in our life that are not urgent and they're not important in that they're not moving the needle in our life and work. Okay. Things like making a dentist appointment, you know, or returning something to Amazon, or ordering groceries, or, you know, those life admin kind of things that we have to do. But they're not necessarily tied to a goal, a project, or a bigger vision. Now, the thing about pebbles is that although they're small, they can very easily take over our whole lives because they tend to be easy and there are a lot of them. And so a lot of times what we'll do is we'll start our day with our 37-point to-do list, right? And then we'll dive into the pebbles first because we'll think, okay, let me knock out all of these little things and then I'll do my most important work. But then the next thing we know is that it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon we've spent our entire day feeling busy. And don't get me wrong, our brains love it. Our brains crave novelty. So we get rewarded every single time we skip hop to a different little task until we realize, oh, I didn't do the most important thing that I needed to do today. And then we wonder where the day went. And so when you're planning your week, if you're able to, you know, think about your to-do list and next to your boulders, write a capital B. Next to your big rocks, write out a BR. And next to your pebbles, write out a P. This is going to help train your brain to identify these different types of priorities. And then when you're planning your day, tackle your boulders first, or at least schedule time for them first. Then knock out your big rocks and let the pebbles fall in the spaces in between. If you have 15 minutes between meetings, check your pebble list and see what you can tackle quickly.
Beautiful. I like that. Yeah, it is. It is all too easy some days where you go, man, I do this pebble, that pebble. And then you're like, wait, it's 4 o'clock. You're like, where the heck did the day go? So
I was so busy. What did I even do?
Yeah. And you're like, I got a lot of things done, but I didn't actually really move the needle forward.
Exactly.
Right? So to just kind of recap, right? So boulders, they're the I was just taking a few notes. They're not super urgent, but they're really important in your life, right? For the quality of your life. Big rocks are important, but not necessarily urgent, right? They're important. They move the needle forward in your life.
These are the ones that are urgent because they are typically time-bound based on a project. Yes. So our big rocks are important and urgent.
Okay. Heck yeah. And then pebbles, not urgent, not as important in the sense that they're not moving the needle forward.
Correct. Yes. You nailed it.
Okay. Heck yeah. I love it. And it's super good to know too. It's like, I love how you say when you have extra time, because I know I go through parts of my day where it's like, oh, I've an extra 20 minutes here. And sometimes it's easy in those extra 20 minutes to be like, oh, I'll just pull up my phone. And then you're in an email and then you're on social media and then you're like, oh, those 20 minutes flew by and I didn't do anything. So I love the idea of having a pebble list. So if you do have pockets that open, you go, okay, let me schedule that doctor appointment. Let me, do that other thing that I needed to do. That is the pebble. I love that as a way to fill those open spaces that kind of randomly pop into our days.
Yes, it's great. And one of my favorite strategies is called having a pebble power hour. So let's say on Fridays, a lot of us are typically a little bit lower energy on Fridays. We've put a lot into the beginning of the week. Friday's a great day for admin. So if you schedule a recurring block on your calendar called Pebble Power Hour, you can grab any of your open pebbles and any pebbles that you haven't crossed off your list and just spend an hour, one after the other. Let me go change that light bulb in the hallway. Let me order a birthday gift for the party that my daughter is going to next week. Let me make the babysitter reservation. You can knock them out all one after the other. You get that buzz from your brain of having that novelty, and you've put your pebbles in a fence. You've confined them into this space so that you're not tempted to waste valuable time on pebbles when you could be engaged in focused work because you know you've got your pebble power hour waiting for you on Friday.
Let's go. I love it. Pebble power hour. So cool. So, Anna, this has been a joy to dive into your story and the wisdom that you have. You know, for all of our listeners that are here with us today and are like, man, I just need more of Anna in my life. I need this book. I need more help with my time management. Where's the best place that they can find you, hang out with you, and just kind of dive deeper into your world?
Yeah. So I would love to invite you to tune into my podcast. It's About Time, with new episodes coming out every Monday, wherever you listen to podcasts. Heck, and if you want to go even deeper, pick up a copy of my book. You can find it at timemanagementessentials.com. And I go pretty deep into the boulders, big rocks, and pebbles that we chatted about today, and so much more that just builds on top of that.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So we'll put all that in the show notes, make it super easy for everybody. And my last question to you, a question we ask all of our guests, because we want to help our listener find direction, but we also believe in doing it through action, is what would you say is one thing our listener could do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What a fun question. So in the next 24 to 48 hours, the one thing that I would encourage you to do would be to... I thought I was magically going to say something. I'm going to have to start over.
we could put a spin to the question too. A part of the question we could add is what's something they could do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction with their time?
Definitely. Okay. So if there's one thing that you can do in the next 24 to 48 hours that will help you find direction with your time, I would really encourage you to spend no more than 30 minutes thinking about your vision for the future. And, you know, a lot of times we get intimidated when we think about our vision because we imagine that it has to be this big, lofty, amazing thing. And we have to think about this 80-year vision. But let yourself think about you 1 year from now. What is it that you want to accomplish in the next year? What are three things that you want to accomplish personally, professionally, financially? And then ask yourself this, what's one thing that you can do in the next week to get one step closer to making that vision a reality?
Love it. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Anna, thank you so much again for being here. Massively, massively appreciate it. And thank you so much again.
Yes, thank you for having me. This has been so much fun, Stu.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I want to say thank you, as always, for joining me on this podcast. I hope you took something from Anna's conversation about time management, and more importantly, as always, I hope you take at least one thing from this conversation and start applying it to your life. It could be start to figure out what is that vision for your life in a year. It could be what are some of the boulders in your life that you need to make sure are concrete in your schedule, right? But take one thing from today and start applying it to your life. And I promise you, you're going to start getting better at your time management. All right, my friend, that is all we have for you this week. Have a wonderful, outstanding, incredible rest of your week. And if you do not want to go anywhere, don't feel like you need to. I have another episode coming up right after this that you are more than welcome to hang around for. All right, my friend, until next time, I'll talk to you soon.